You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Before we talk about online shopping addictions, something that perhaps might be relatable to you, the website, of course, is Naturopathic Earth. Go peruse the site, read the articles, click away. Also, I want to let you know, of course, that Kate and I are high school teachers, so anything that you can do to help us defray the cost of maintaining the podcast and the website would be greatly appreciated. That's mostly done through two conduits. One would be our Patreon account, which is a crowdfunding account. You can click on the link on this episode notes, on the episode notes of this episode, or you can go to the homepage of the website and you can click there, and we can really appreciate any donation, anywhere from $1 to $5 to $10 a month would be great. The other way you can support the website is, aside from hiring me as your health coach — I have lost 100 pounds and kept it off over 27 years, I can help you with that — but the cheaper, more instant gratification way, which is very relatable vis-a-vis this episode, would be to go to Amazon and purchase my online memoirs, Confessions of an Obese Child, which of course shares the name with the podcast, my other podcast that I have on iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you're listening to this, SoundCloud. And you can buy my memoirs for $2.99 and read them and learn about what it was like for me to grow up overweight and some of the coping mechanisms I developed. Fortunately, one of them for me was not online shopping, but for me, for sure, it was food. You know, we all veer toward one of our addictions, and mine just happened to be more toward food than toward shopping. But go check that out. And if you buy the book, please post a review, because it helps for my rankings and social proof. And also, it is available on Barnes & Noble Nook devices as well. We have returned to school. I have my new students for the year, and I can say that they're all horrible. No, I'm just kidding. They seem to be pretty good kids. Now, hopefully, you know, luckily for me, since I teach the medical classes, is about 75% of my students are females. Females as a whole tend to be less disruptive and overall better students. So I am blessed with that. I would find it almost unmanageable and insufferable to have to teach the entry-level freshman classes like English 1, Bio 1, Algebra 1. I have colleagues who do that, and God bless them. I'm not that good of enough teacher to handle those kids. So I am blessed that I get the more assiduous and hardworking kids and the better behaved kids. So I am blessed with that. So far, I've had them for a week. This batch seems like a good batch. Kate teaches at another high school that is probably known to be one of the best high schools here in SA in San Antonio. And her kids, of course, are always good because she's at one of these elite public high schools. And I'm sure she probably doesn't have any complaints or any complaints that she would like for me to share online. All right, let's talk about shopping. Okay, so why did I want to bring up shopping addiction, or specifically online shopping addiction? A couple reasons. One, if you listen to Confessions of an Obese Child episode, I think number 7, which is the bra, which is my experience of having to wear a bra in high school, I talk about my mother's shopping addiction. Now, this was back in the 80s. My mother suffers
from depression, anxiety, less now than then. And what we would do, especially in the summer and on the weekends, would be to drive far distances to go to a mall. And she would just buy stuff and never open it. And so for much of my high school years, you literally would go into every closet in my house. Every closet. I mean, the utility room closet, the washing machine room closet, of course, her closets, my closets, every closet in there were her clothes, just all piled up. She would never throw them away. And it got to the point where it was so bad, she wouldn't even open the stuff. So if you went to her trunk, there was unopened purchases. And if you went to all the different closets, they were just unopened, hanging, or on the ground, or on the shelves. And at the time, I knew that this was not normal, right? Why buy stuff if you're not going to use it? At the time, I probably didn't make the connection. This was more of retail therapy or like mental health issue. The other reason I want to do it is, look, I mean, the mission statement, especially now that we're a cult health news as well, is you might be wondering, like, why am I doing stuff on alcohol? Why am I doing stuff on narcissistic personality disorder? Why am I doing any of the mental health disorders? You know, why am I veering off of the food and toxins that I focused so much on in the beginning? Well, the mission statement really of MPE is overall wellness and optimization of wellness on all levels, not just on body, but on mind and spirit. And so I'd like to cover topics where people are struggling: alcoholism, vaping, drugs. We've talked about Vicodin addiction. So I want to cover all these aspects. And one of them, especially, and no offense to the ladies, is shopping. Shopping addiction is more commonly seen with the female persuasion than with the men. Now, with the men, you're going to see more of the alcoholism outlet. You're going to see the more of the gambling outlet. You're certainly going to see more of the pornography outlet for sure over the women. But with shopping, there's no question, this is more of a woman issue. All right, so we're going to cover just kind of a background of what it is, and then I'm going to offer you 10 insights as to whether or not you are addicted to online shopping. Now, I am drinking green tea, so there's going to be a couple of pauses. Oh, so good. Omniomania is the official term for compulsive shopping or shopping addiction. Omniomania is perhaps the most socially acceptable addiction. Think about it. We're surrounded by advertisers that tell us buying will make us happy, right? This is one of the reasons I love streaming. I don't have local television or cable. And I think one of the reasons is because I'm fed up with commercials. One of the problems I have with commercials is they intentionally increase the volume during advertisements. And so the TV gets louder. If you ever notice that, notice it the next time. They make it a little louder, which irks me, right? Because I have the volume where I want it. And like, why are you making it louder? I don't like loud noises because I'm an old man, right? So that's one of the things. And of course, as I've mentioned so often in almost all of these episodes, especially ones when it comes to pharmaceuticals and for food, advertisers don't care about you. They don't love you. Their job is to sell you the product of the company from which they were hired. And so advertisers' job is to manipulate you. It's to manipulate you. And of course, with shopping, it's buying such and such product will make you feel better. Just like with makeup, right? Buying such and such makeup will make you beautiful. And that's why they show these supermodels or Hollywood celebrity women that are either airbrushed or have spent 4 hours in hair and makeup to look beautiful. And so you subconsciously think, well, if I buy that makeup, if I buy that crazy Parisian model dress, I'm going to be seen as attractive and beautiful. No, you're not. No, you're not. This is a manipulation for you to buy their overpriced crap. Now, sure, makeup and clothes can accentuate the way you naturally look, but you're not going to become a supermodel if, frankly, you don't have supermodel looks, right? You can't put lipstick on a pig. You know, I can buy a muscle shirt. Doesn't mean I'm going to be all muscled up. I'm far from being muscled up, but at least I can step away and notice that I'm being manipulated in that just because I'm buying some shirt, I'm going to be roided up and cut. No.
we're also encouraged by politicians, right? The politicians are like, you need to keep the economy sustained. It's your job, consumers, to fall into more debt and to buy more crap that's going to be floating around in the Pacific Ocean in an area that's like the size of Florida. Yeah, it's your job to sustain the economy. No politicians. Maybe it's your job to create jobs and to lower our taxation to encourage more companies to invest in America. It's not my job to fuel the economy. That's ridiculous. And also, it's like the idea of buying something that you don't have, the allure of the unknown, right? Like, oh, well, my friends got the... What's the Amazon, the one that makes all your food really fast, the Instapot, right? It's like, oh, well, all my friends have an Instapot, so I guess I'm less worthy or I'm not as good, so I need an Instapot so I can fit in and keep up with the Joneses. You know, they're all measures of social worth. They're all like a new car, right? Oh, I don't have a new car, so I guess I'm seen as poor, or my house isn't as nice as the ones in the, so I guess my friends think I'm poor. See, it's all manipulation. Who gives a sheet rock what the government, your friends, and other people think? Be happy with who you are. But either way, shopping addiction is a behavioral addiction that involves compulsive buying as a way to feel good and avoid negative feelings such as anxiety and depression. And it's not a surprise that most online shoppers are anxious, fidgety people, right? It makes sense. And it's, you know, I'll mention now and I'll mention later, it's like we all have some underlying issues. And those underlying issues, unless addressed with the deep work, are going to be shunted or funneled or rise to the surface in various ways. But so the sex, the porn, the shopping, the gambling, whatever. So the underlying thing is that there's anxiety that you're driving this. If you listen to confessions, you know, it's anxiety that you're driving me to eat, right? And then you eat and then you feel good for a second and then you feel like crap and the cycle of self-loathing kicks in. Well, shopping on occasion, if you have that wherewithal and introspection, you'll know that it's kind of the same thing. But definitely with sex addicts, right? Sex addicts, as I've mentioned before, I have this line. It's like having sex with somebody you don't love is like eating a big sheet cake of white cake. It tastes good at the beginning and then you feel sick. Whereas having sex with somebody you love is like eating filet mignon with kale, right? It's very nutrient dense and fills you up in a good way and sustains and edifies you. So it's similar to that. But definitely, if you listen to that podcast, I talk about anxiety. Even as an adult, like I'd be waiting at the supermarket. I got my little cart full of like cake and donuts and I get into line and the line's taking forever and I'm getting all anxious. Or if you're in the drive-thru and you're like, you need your food. This line's taking too long. I can't wait. You know, that's all the anxiety that's fueling that. And shopping is no different because all of these have one commonality, is that it's impulse control problems, and there's some sort of trauma, in my humble opinion, that is causing us to have this anxiety, and then it's shunted into different ways. Now, officially, it's only about 6% of the population has a compulsive shopping addiction. Now, I think this is laughably low, just like the numbers showing of alcoholism. I think there's a lot of alcoholics, functional alcoholics, that drink 2-3 drinks a night that would not otherwise be construed as alcoholics, because the true definition of alcoholism, as I mentioned 2 episodes ago about the Lancet study, is how it affects your life, your work, your relationship. So if you just drink 3 drinks a night and you're pretty functional, then officially you're not an alcoholic, but certainly you're alcohol dependent. And we've talked about the number of drinks you have to have per week not to be alcohol dependent. And with men, it's 14, and women, it's with 10. So with here, I think shopping addiction's much, much more than 6%. Now, typically this issue starts in your teens and in your adulthood, your early adulthood. And typically there's a comorbidity or there's a correlation with other conditions. So mood and anxiety disorders, substance use disorders, eating disorders, impulse control disorders, personality disorders. So all the people who have these conditions, like manic people, manic depression, you know, when they're manic, they're going to just buy everything and do everything. And most people do it as a way to develop and boost their self-esteem. Although, of course, it's not effective at all in doing this.
Now, look, shopping addiction's been around for a long time. I mean, you can find studies going back to the late 19th century about it being essentially a psychiatric disorder. And of course, my mother was suffering from this in the 80s before online purchases could occur. So this has been a problem for some time. It is somewhat controversial. There's some mental health experts who believe that shopping addiction is not a real addiction. I think they're idiots for thinking that, to be honest, if you've been around people who have this problem, not to cast aspersions on them too much, but yes, I think they're idiots. And the you know, one of the major problems with shopping addiction is that you tend to spend more than you have, right? Because it's instant gratification. That the whole Amazon system, if we'll use Amazon because Amazon is kind of like the titan, the paragon, the vanguard of all these things. And certainly you can shop at other online places, but Amazon makes it so easy with a one-click shopping that it's easy to overspend. Now, you can be very wealthy and buy a bunch of crap online, and it might not make you fall into debt, but certainly it would eat into your income. So let's say you have a $150,000 a year job, and you have, you're paying for your rent or your mortgage, and essentially you have your car paid off, or you have a company car or something like that. But you know, you should be having money going into savings or going on these great trips, but you notice, or maybe you don't because you don't do a budget, you're spending thousands a month, let's say $2,000 a month on online shopping. Many of those products you'll never open or even use, or they break in a week or two because most of these products are built in China and they're crap. They're built in Vietnam, China, Korea, and they're crap. And if you, even if you spend $2,000 a month on online shopping, I mean, that's $24,000 a year. So that's $24,000 a year of your income that's going away. But certainly if you don't have the money, you're going to be using credit cards and falling more and more into debt. So that's a major issue. And look, I don't want you to think that I'm attacking or maligning people with this problem, because it is an illness. It is an addiction. And it's not my place to do that. It's my place to my onus on me to just bring this up as a topic of conversation. I'm certainly not one that should cast aspersions on these people, because I've had my history with food addiction. Again, these are just different manifestations. But typically, like the shopaholics, as we would call them, you know, they, I would say half of them realize what they're doing is bad. Some of them, we can rationalize every behavior, right? We can rationalize stealing, oh, because I'm poor and I need to feed my kids. We can rationalize cheating on our spouses. Oh, they never give me sex, or I'm, you know, they're horrible or mean, or they're having an affair, so it's my time to have an affair. We can rationalize every behavior. So half the people, I think, rationalize and don't even think it's a problem, right? They just think it's part of being American, right? We got to propel the economy, right? The big advertising tell me to do it, so I guess it's my job. It's my job to do it. And, you know, my kids need clothes. Yes, your kids need clothes, but they can just go to like a wholesale shop or a Goodwill. They don't need brand name $100 shirts for your 8-year-old. I think the other half realize it's a problem and they want to stop. And that's what makes it sad, is that they want to stop, but they can't stop. And it's not like there's a lot of rehab facilities, inpatient, the real pricey, you know, celebrity ones where it's like, what, $100,000 for 28 days. There's not a lot of inpatient or outpatient facilities for online shopping addiction. And also, of course, there's a stigma behind it, right? People don't want to be honest about it and just say, hey, I'm addicted to shopping. You know, some people have commented to me, not to go off topic here, it's like how you are so open about your problems and your addictions, especially on confessions. And I know people, and I've mentioned this on that podcast, how I bring up to people, hey, I want to interview you. And a lot of people don't feel comfortable with it. And people have told me in general, it's like you overshare too much intimate stuff on your podcast. I don't know how you do that. And I tell them, it's like, it's liberating, it's freeing, and I don't really care how you feel about it. But in general, people want to keep everything in, right? It's like if you're a porn addict, think of men. You very rarely see men, but yeah, I'm addicted to porn. I need help. It's horrible. It's destroying my life. Everyone wants to hide their demons. And I get that, because they don't want to be demonized by their family. And there's such a level of shame. And I would just suggest to people who have these issues, typically family and friends are going to be supportive. They're not going to be judgmental. At least they won't be judgmental in front of you, which is ultimately all that matters. And they can judge you behind your back, but you won't know. But they're not going to be judgmental. And I think the biggest thing is it frees you. It liberates you to be open about these things. So if any of you do have shopaholic issues, be open and be honest. People will be very sympathetic. But typically, shopaholics share a profile. So please don't be hurt if you fit this profile. But they're often low in self-esteem, which makes sense because they think that they need to buy these products to feel better. And of course, that never really works. They're easily influenced. They're kind-hearted, sympathetic, and polite to all others. And they're often lonely and they're just isolated. And shopping kind of gives them a way to reach out to people and be in contact with others, even though many times they're not in contact with anybody aside from the "may I help you" robot on some of these websites where you're asking for help. People with shopping addictions tend to be a little more materialistic than other shoppers and try to prop themselves up by seeking status through material objects, right? So, I bought these. Like when I was in high school, it was Guess jeans were really, really pricey. Oh, I got Guess jeans. See, you can see the label. I have Guess jeans. And they want to seek approval from others, right? That's why you're not buying, like I do, my JCPenney dress shirts for $19.99. You know, I dress up at school or whatever is perceived to be dressing up at high schools because most teachers nowadays, they want to wear jeans and whatever the school t-shirt is. But I still wear nice dress slacks and a button-down dress shirt, like a business attire, like you could just throw a coat on it. And people tell me, oh, you dress up really well. And I'm like, well, I want to dress up for work. It makes me feel better, and I think it's a good role model for these high school kids. But I don't go out of my way to spend a lot. I get these shirts for $19.99 at JCPenney's. They just look like they're nicer than they are. And typically, these people have a hard time resisting impulses, and they're more susceptible to marketing and advertising. They don't have that kind of wherewithal. Maybe you could call it cynicism and skepticism that other people have to see through the bull-s of the advertisers. Now, there is a term that therapists have used called retail therapy. And with retail therapy, it implies that you get some sort of like benefit from buying yourself something as you would from engaging in counseling or therapy. And I get this. I'll mention this at the end, my online purchase habits. But certainly, you know, if you buy a new car, right? The car is a little different than online purchasing, even though you can buy a car online. Sure, when you get a car, right, you're all excited. When you buy a new home, you're excited. It makes you feel good. Ultimately, though, just like with that new car smell, ultimately, it wanes. It wanes. And now you're like, oh, damn, I got to pay a $400 payment on this car. But there is retail therapy, and this is another rationalization that these people do is, well, it's like going to therapy, right? It makes me feel good. It gives me therapy, right? I gotta go see my therapist, Dr. Mall, Dr. Ann Taylor. You know, while retail therapy is often used kind of in a tongue-in-cheek manner, the shopaholics actively make time to shop simply as a way to cope with negative feelings. There could be stuff going on in their life. They could be in an unhappy marriage. They could be in a stressful job. They could have kids that are just driving them crazy. They could be single and lonely, kind of like a spinster. There could be just, you know, as mentioned earlier, the comorbidity is a personality disorder. So you could have somebody who's struggling with schizophrenia or struggling with bipolar or social anxiety disorder. And this is just a way for them to cope. Okay, let's take a quick break and go over 10 quick steps that would show that you are a compulsive shopping addict. Okay, so these are 10 signs here. Number one, and of course, this is not an exhaustive list by any means. If you have these kind of thoughts in your head, like, quote, I feel like I can't stop online shopping even if I wanted to or have tried to stop without being able to, right? We just talked about that. Like you at least recognize it, kind of like going to AA or any of these addiction places. The first step is recognizing I am an alcoholic here. I am a shopaholic. So by all means, that is a great first step. And like I think just like with all the other addictions, the more people you tell the it kind of works as a safety valve because you're not keeping it all in, and keeping all that anxiety and stress and shame of your addiction in is making you more likely to propel you to keep doing that addiction. So the more people you tell, it's like letting more air out of the balloon. So telling people, including therapy, AA, and all these other outlets, I am a shopaholic, will in the long run make you feel better. Another one is that online shopping hurts your relationships, work, and financial situation. It hurts your work, relationships, and financial situation. Of course, the person that you would think most about in this regard is your spouse, right? Your spouse. You might have a lot of fights with your spouse about this, especially if you have a shared account or both of you are trying to pay off your debt, especially if you have your spouse. Your spouse is like, I expect us to have a certain lifestyle, live in a certain neighborhood and have a certain house, and you are not giving me that lifestyle. And then the guy's like, well, it's because you're spending $2,000 a month on crap we don't need. And so you could see definitely how fights are fueled. Like, we want to work down our debt, or we want to have more savings, or maybe move up money over for a trip or for our kids' tuition, but the money's not there because you're shopping. And then the woman, we'll just say the woman because women are typically the more compulsive shoppers. The woman, of course, is going to get defensive because either she's rationalizing and has no clue and she thinks it's normal, right? The 50-50 group here, or she knows she has a problem. But when you attack somebody like that, they just get defensive and they get angry. So for sure, if it's causing strife in your family, by all means, that's a problem. You know, you have a shopping problem. Unless you just have like a really controlling spouse. It's like, oh, you spent $20 on jeans. I told you can only buy jeans every 5 years, and you bought one pair this year. You know, if you have somebody like that, okay, well, that's a whole different problem right there. But in general, yeah. And so if it hurts your work because let's say you're online shopping all the time at work, right? You're not working, or if it's affecting your income because a lot of your money is getting shunted away from work. So that's a major problem. A third one would be your partner, your family members, or friends are concerned about your online shopping, and you end up in arguments with them over it. So your mom comes to you, your brother or something. It's like, hey, I'm worried you're spending too much, Debbie. You're like, shut up. You don't know what it's like. I love shopping. Blah, blah, blah. And of course, they go to your closet and you're just like my mom. You haven't opened half of them. A fourth one is that you think about online shopping all the time. You're fixated, right? This go back to my episode 8 on the locked cabinet. When I was a kid, I would daydream about the food that my parents would lock up all the real junky food in a cabinet. So the Cheetos and Ding Dongs and all that. And I don't even know why they had them in the house. They probably had them in the house so my brothers could eat it. So it'd be locked. And literally, I would daydream at school and think, what is that food doing right now? Why is it so dark in that cabinet? How are they lined up? I mean, I would daydream, or I'd be like, where is that McDonald's I'm going to eat tomorrow when I sneak out of my house and walk to the McDonald's? Where is that cheese right now that's going to be on my Big Mac? Is it still in the cow? Is it cut in slices? Are they going to cut in slices tomorrow? I mean, this is how I used to think. And if you listen to that episode, I'd eventually break into the locked cabinet when my parents were out for the day and eat all the food. And then they would come back and they'd be like, Albertote, why did you do that? That's not good. They would never like yell at me or get angry. They'd just be like, oh, why did you do that? So go listen to that one. But yeah, you fixate. Another one would be you get grumpy or upset if you can't shop online, right? Kind of like a withdrawal, kind of like, what? I can't get my fix right now? What? You've taken it away, right? You get all ornery. Makes sense. Sixth one would be online shopping is the only thing that helps you relax or feel better. Again, you can fill this with another addiction, right? Don't say online shopping. Sex is the only thing that helps me relax or feel better. Drinking is the only thing that helps me relax or feel better. Eating and so forth, right? So it relaxes you. But just like with alcohol and all these other things, especially with alcohol, because alcohol has an anxiolytic or anxiety-inducing effect, typically once you get that fix, you're just feeling anxious again. Seventh, I hide things that I buy because I'm afraid other people will think it's unreasonable or a waste of money. This goes back to my mom in the closet, right? You want to keep everything secret. Eight, you often feel guilty after you go online shopping, right? After you make those clicks. Just like when I eat my humongous cheesecakes back when I was younger, it's like, why did I do that? I don't even need a fourth Instapot. I don't need another rug. You know, it's just so you're like, you just get caught up in the moment. The ninth one is you spend less time doing other things that you enjoy because of online shopping. So let's say Chance and Vanessa ask you to go out golfing or go to dinner, and you're like, no, I got to stay home. Sorry, I'm doing my wash, I'm doing my hair, but really you just want to keep shopping. This reminds me of orthorexia. If you go back to the episode on the 12 steps, the 12 signs that you know you're an orthorexic, that's one of them. Like, you never want to eat out because you're scared that you're going to eat foods that are toxin laden. And so you stay home because there's only four or five foods that you have decided are healthy and that won't hurt your body. So I think you could really see that with any of these addictions, right? You spend less time with people or hobbies that you like because of your addiction. The 10th one is you often buy things that you don't need or much more than I planned, even when I can't afford it, right? So it goes back to that 7th one. You're just buying stuff that you really don't need. So if you notice that you have some of those things, you're likely going to be a shopaholic.
And, you know, we really don't think about the long-term ramifications of all this online shopping. For example, the increased amount of plastics and styrofoam that's being used for all these increased purchases, the fact that the retail industry is tanking overall. I mean, sure, you hear reports where fourth quarter reports that Target is doing well because of Black Friday and Christmas and so forth. And then we really don't think about the environmental aspects of it, how much more plastics and unused stuff is being put into the world. So, I mean, I remember reading an article how Goodwill, for example, is one of those companies that's actually doing well because of all the excess of online shopping, because a lot of these people, like my mother, for example, will buy all these things, but they don't use them. And I'm not necessarily talking about, like, if you're making a purchase here, two or three here, but I'm talking about people who make excessive purchases. And so let's say they get a new Instapot, or they get a new blender, or they get a new dress. So all this stuff stockpiles, and eventually a lot of these people, unless they're hoarder types, give away the old stuff or even give away the stuff they just bought. And so if you go to Goodwill, Goodwill is actually benefiting, and all the other wholesale resale kind of places like Tuesday Morning and all these places are actually doing well. And you can find a lot of really good stuff and good clothes there, because so many people are buying stuff that they really don't need, that there's an excess. And so they're selling them over at the Goodwill. Okay, let's take our final break, and then we'll talk about some steps we can do to ameliorate this problem. Okay, so there's some common sense stuff that you can do to minimize your online shopping addiction. Some of the more commonsensical stuff before I go like really radical is, I mean, look, Amazon makes it so easy for us to buy sheet rock that we don't need. It's two clicks away, right? And at the time that you're clicking, just like I mentioned with all the anxiety when you're at the drive-thru, or if you're an alcoholic at the liquor store and all this, they make it so, so easy. And you have that anxiety building up, and you just want to make this purchase because you think this purchase is going to make you happy, and it's going to fill the hole that you have, when you know ultimately it's never going to fill the hole. But they make it so easy with just two clicks away on your phone, two clicks away on your computer. You rationalize, oh, it's free shipping because I have Amazon Prime. And then you start rationalizing, well, I have Prime, I got to take advantage of it. If not, like, I'm wasting money on Prime, you know. Not to mention all the TV shows you can get from Amazon Prime. But they do make it easy, and they make it easy on purpose, right? They make it easy on purpose, just like how the grocery stores put all the kids' crappy cookies and cereals low down to make it low down the aisles to make it easier for kids to see it. In the same way, how 80% of what supermarkets sell are processed packaged crap, because they want you to buy that stuff because there's a higher markup than there is on the meat and the dairy and all that stuff. So the aisles are, of course, what you want to avoid at supermarkets, especially if you're paleocentric or if you just want to keep your weight down, because almost all that stuff is crap. And so we are kind of set up, as I mentioned, with big pharma commercials and all those previous episodes, to fail in everything that big business wants us to fail in, and therefore will make them succeed. So, I mean, delete the Amazon Prime app from your phone. That's one thing, especially if you're more of a phone shopper. Like, I don't shop on the phone on the telephone too much. Another thing you can do is try to shop with people who are not compulsive shoppers. I think that they would be a good influence on you. It's difficult to do this, of course, at home on your desktop if you're shopping, but try to make more of a concerted effort to go somewhere and shop. You know, and in some ways, online shopping has been much more efficient for us, because I remember when I was a kid, you know, you would drive all over town to look for such and such boots, let's say, and you would drive to all the various malls and to put them on, hope that they would have your color, hope that they would have your size. And so in a lot of ways, we are saving on gas, for sure. But it's taking away the shopping experience. There's something to be said about touching, feeling, putting on the clothes, the communal effect. So there's something to be said about shopping with friends, right? Now, men, we hate shopping. There was a study that I saw that showed that men shop, the stress that they get during Christmas season when shopping is equivalent to the stress of a fighter pilot. Men as a whole hate shopping. But women like to shop as a whole. And so why not go with your friends, go to the mall, go wherever, Ann Taylor Loft, wherever, and make it a communal experience and enjoy it. Now, of course, you can overspend there, but at least it's a step in the right direction where you're getting out of the shadows of shopping alone at home. And if you can surround yourself with people who have healthy shopping habits, and if you're, more importantly, if you're open about it to them and you tell them, look, I'm a shopaholic. This goes back to what I said earlier. Be open. Tell as many people, because they will make you more accountable, and you yourself will be more accountable because you know these people know, and you will have this burden lifted from you. So you're not hiding it like guys with porn. And so that's another step that you can certainly do is shop with friends, do more shopping at malls, take the app away from your phone. And I think the biggest thing is, as I've mentioned with the breakup episode on Valentine's and other times, definitely on Confessions, is you got to do the deep work. Because if you don't do the deep work, what you're going to do is, let's say you abate your intensity for online shopping is abated or lessened, you're just going to find another outlet for your anxiety and your impulse control OCD disorders to come out. So it could be with, again, sex, gambling, alcohol, or whatever. I mentioned on the Confessions podcast how I don't really drink a lot of alcohol because I could see myself, since I have I wouldn't say I have addiction mindset, maybe a quasi-addiction mindset, and I worry, and this could be completely unfounded, but I worry that if I start drinking all the time, especially if I drink alone, that I'll become an alcoholic, and then food won't be the only thing that I think about. Be two things now. And I don't want two things. I just want one. I just don't want any. But if I have to have one, I just want one. And it's important to do the deep work. Do the deep work. Find out where this anxiety is. Find out where the low self-esteem is coming from. Get to the deep work to find out where the trauma occurred to you as a child or as a young adult. If it was sexual abuse, if it was maybe some PTSD episode because you saw a car accident, maybe your family grew up really, really poor, and so you want to overcompensate by buying a lot of crap. Maybe you're really lonely. Maybe you're overweight and you can't find a spouse. There's a host of reasons, but going to therapy would help to do the deep work so you can find the cause of the anxiety and the thing that's propelling you to fill this hole. And we can seal the hole, because if the hole is never sealed, you're always going to be trying to fill it with something. And if it's not shopping, it'll be one of the aforementioned things. So we need it to seal that hole. So yes, I do recommend therapy. So when it comes down to it, this is what I recommend to you. Therapy, journaling, to getting those ideas off of your mind, into a piece of paper because that will relieve some of the anxiety. Delete the app from your phone. Shop with other people and tell as many people as possible. Tell all your friends. There is no shame in addiction. That's how the addiction works. They say that about the devil, right? That's how it works. That's how he sows his discord. It's the same thing here. There's no shame. People would certainly relate because it is so ubiquitous to be a shopping addict that people would give you a lot of sympathy. So I would recommend those things. And I would be honest, if you have a spouse, for example, and it's reaped a lot of discord in your relationship because you're spending all your guys' money, be honest and say, look, I'm sorry, husband or wife. I am sorry. I have a problem. I need help. Please support me. I don't need you to judge me anymore. I know what I'm doing is wrong. I just need help and I need to tell people I need to go to therapy. You know, have that self-awareness and that humility to know that's what you need to have done. Also, go see a doctor. The doctor, of course, might prescribe you because in this allopathic world, right, drugs are the first line of defense for everything. He might prescribe you an anxiolytic drug like Ativan or Klonopin or Xanax. And of course, I would not go down that road first. I would do therapy and all the aforementioned things and try naturopathic remedies for your anxiety. So I would do exercise and kava and lavender and all the other natural things you can do and minimize the temptations by taking the app away from your phone and so forth. I would try all those things first. If you go to therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy tends to be pretty effective for these types of addictions. And CBT, a branch of that, is used in insomnia, as I mentioned in the previous episode on red light bulbs. And all the insomnia episodes, those tend to be, CBT tends to be pretty effective when it comes to addictions. And the good thing about CBT as opposed to psychoanalysis is psychoanalysis can go on for years. If you find a Freudian therapist, they'll have no problem talking about your childhood for 4 years as they rack up your money. But CBT can be done in 2-3 months if done effectively and you follow the guidelines. So I would recommend that as well. So guys, look, final note, I shop online, but very rarely. I don't shop. I'm the actual opposite of an over shopper or a hoarder. I'm a purger. If you ever come to my place, it's always kind of like tidy. And when it comes to clothes, I have this weird thing where, like, if I buy a new shirt or a new slacks for work, I throw away the oldest one I have, or I give it to Goodwill. I put it in the bin. But that's how it works. I don't really have a shopping addiction. And since food has been my issue my whole life, if all the other aspects, all the other possible addictions, I'm very kind of, I would say, I have a lot of self-restraint. So like with shopping, I don't do a lot of shopping, partly because I'm a guy. Gambling, I don't do any gambling. Even with fantasy football, which I've done for 18 years, I finally gave that up this year. And so far this fall, it's been great to be relieved of that. Drinking, I drink very little. It's good. So that I'm kind of the opposite. So I don't do a lot of online shopping and I'm okay with that. But definitely I'm not casting aspersions on you if you are one of those online shoppers. But if you know you have a problem, then get some help. Doesn't mean you can never online shop again, but be accountable, go to therapy, tell your friends and so forth. All right, guys, that's all I have to say. Please hit the subscribe button right now. And all these episodes will be sent directly to your phone. And as always, post reviews for Confessions of an Obese Child, Kate's Apothecary, and MP Radio on your iPhone, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this. It would mean a humongous deal. And of course, go buy my memoirs on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Until next time, guys, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.